The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul. Yes, it does. Is my mic up? Can you tell? Is it? Okay. Maybe it's my hearing thing. Hang on a sec. Good morning, everybody. This is Terry Raposa, Jefferson State of Mind, in our continuing soiree of freedom and liberty, broadcasting live from KCNR Studios, 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better, 1460 AM, your talk radio. And we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. I'm here with Christina, our producer. How are you doing, Christina?
Very good morning.
Good morning.
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Good. I noticed you were doing some homework back there.
It's not really homework. I'm more preparing for the exam.
Oh.
Yeah. Learning the skeleton system, kind of hard, but I'm...
That's okay. I think we all have a brain.
Yeah.
Although I wonder about some people. Some people I do wonder about.
Looks like they lose it. First turn off.
I think you're right. So anyway, folks, we are here this morning, again, broadcasting live. We also are streaming this worldwide. Go to KCNR1460.com, and if you have a question or a comment, feel free to call in 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. A lot of interesting things going on. You know, I think the main thing that we have to be looking at right now is, are we on our own with all of this? Are we the people really we the people? Are we the people, we the some of us, we maybe the most of us, but are the most of us thinking clearly on what's going on with our country? You know, I think that there's three things we need to understand. And it's always been these three things. That's jurisdiction, interposition, and nullification. Jurisdiction is what a legal body or an elected body has power over. What do they control? What is it that they have the job to do? What is their job description? What is it that they have authority over? Interposition means that that particular body, whether it be an elected body or an agency, which is sort of a sad thing, so let's stay with the elected bodies, what is it that they can do if, in fact, they see something that violates the Constitution of the United States or the Constitution of California? And we'll just talk about California today. And I'll go into a little diatribe about that in a minute, because I think a lot of people have some things confused. So you can interpose. So if something is bad, a bad law, a bad something, like that sheriff in New Mexico who said, well, wait a second here, you cannot stop different towns from carrying a lawful weapon according to the Second Amendment, which is their right, which is their constitutionally protected right. You can't stop them, and I'm not gonna at all do that to the constituents, which I have taken an oath to protect and to protect their rights. So with that, the sheriff said, not gonna do it. So therefore, the ban that you have on weapons, I'm not gonna enforce. That's interposition. And he basically nullified it by saying, not only am I not going to enforce it, but my deputies won't enforce it. We will not enforce it. Therefore, it's not just the one particular situation of, I'm not going to do this, we're not going to do this, we don't want to comply with it, we won't do it, period. It's not going to happen. I think we miss a lot of that when we start looking at what's going on with the states. I know that there's been a lot of things that we see that go on here. Mike Lindell's done a marvelous job in trying to bring everybody together and make sure that we have a situation in our country to where we can make sure that our votes aren't being usurped, that they're not, that our elections are not being stolen. The problem is that every state has its own policy, its own regulation, and its own procedures. So one size doesn't fit all. So what happens in Ohio stays in Ohio. What happens in Texas stays in Texas. What happens in California, well, you get the idea. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. And a lot of people are trying this one-size-fits-all business, and it doesn't. And I think the thing that we really have to start understanding is the federal government isn't going to help the state of California out of the mess we have as far as our state goes. We're going to have to do that. My partner just came in here. How you doing, Wynn?
Oh, well, better now, man. I was having a coughing fit outside.
Oh, were you, buddy?
Yeah, still got that lung issue going on, so I apologize for not being here on time because of that.
Well, you've been battling this thing for a while, brother.
I have. I've been taking some drugs, but for some reason they're just not doing the magic.
Well, maybe it's not the right drugs.
Well, that could be. You have any?
Well, a little moonshine.
Well, that'll burn it all out.
There you go. Christina smiling in there with that wry little smile when I mentioned moonshine. So have you ever had moonshine, Christina?
No, I just heard about that.
She hasn't heard the good stuff.
Yeah. So I think that I'd like to bring one thing up. I think that's important because if we think that a piece of paper, a ballot, every 2 years, 4 years, or 6 years is going to change our country, that isn't it. It's going to be understanding jurisdiction, interposition, and nullification, and really, what is we the people? Let me read you something here I got in the mail pertaining to our children, okay? This is from Doug LaMalfa. My fellow American, last week, this was about 3 or 4 weeks ago when I got this, we got some disappointing news from local courts. As you may know, Aurora Regino, a Chico mother, was suing the Chico Unified School District for the district's attempt to secretly change her daughter's pronouns, dress her up like a boy, and keep her new identity a secret from her mother. Such behavior from public school is disturbing and unacceptable, you think? Mrs. Regino sued the school district over the existence of its parental secrecy policy, a lawsuit which I fully support. Unfortunately, on Thursday, a judge dismissed Aurora's lawsuit against Chico Unified. Although this is not the outcome we were all hoping for, the fight is far from over. I have introduced federal legislation. There's the key there. He's introduced federal legislation that prohibits public schools from having parental secrecy policies on their books. And parents across California are now aware of this issue and are speaking out. I fully support the right and necessity of parental involvement in their child's education. Schools are for educating, not for indoctrinating children. Our children perform best when the parents are involved and have a say in how they are educated. Now, there's a couple things there. First of all, what can federal legislation do if, in fact, a lot of these school laws are passed as law, not as policy, not as procedure, not as regulation, not as mandate, but as law? And I'll get into that in a moment. So what can the federal government really do? Well, I wanted to know, because can the federal government go into California and say, you have all these crazy laws, these horrible laws that harm our children. You have all these horrible laws that take away parents' rights. Can they rescind these laws? Can they do a referendum on these laws? Can they cancel out these laws? No. The federal government doesn't have jurisdiction to interpose and nullify the laws. So I got a hold of Mark Spanigold, who's Doug LaMalfa's chief of staff, and he is Doug is one of the sponsors of this bill, if not the main sponsor. I know he's one of the sponsors of this bill. And I asked Mark, I said, hey, I go, look, I want to talk to you about this this new law. I hear it's bill number H.R. 1585. What jurisdiction does the federal government have in changing any law in any state that's a state law? And he said, well, not really anything. I said, that's right. They don't have jurisdiction. So California can pass a law anytime they want. And here's how they can do that. Gavin Newsom is a Democrat, communist, socialist, spawn of Satan. He's our governor. In our Senate, we have 40 people in our Senate to represent us in our state. 32 are Democrats, 8 are Republicans. In the Assembly, we have 80 Assembly people. 62 are Democrats, 18 are Republicans. Out of that 18, 4 of the Republicans normally vote with the Democrats. So we also gave about 5 years ago plenary, basically plenary power, that means absolute power, to the legislative body of California. By the way we voted, and with some other laws, we now have a situation where California's body, legislative body, can pass anything they want. So I asked Mark Spanagle, I said, so what is exactly the federal government can do? Because Newsom can do whatever he wants. And he said, well, you know, we fund a lot of money for the schools in California. I said, really? How much? And he goes, well, a lot. I go, well, if it's 100% money that's being spent in the educational system in California, how much does the federal government give the state of California? He said, maybe as much as 60%. That's a lot of money. I said, really? That is a lot of money, isn't it? I said, but what if Newsom gives you the middle finger? Notice I didn't use a dirty word there. Mm-hmm. Notice that. Do I get a comment like, good boy, I didn't use a dirty word. Attaboy. But the middle finger. Attaboy. You get the idea.
Attaboy.
So what if Newsom does that? And he said, well, that's a lot of money. And I said, well, Mark, let me ask you this. How many people do you think drive a day in California, or planes that fly out, or trucks that use diesel in California, if they're driving from Mexico to the Canadian border, going through California, Highway 5, 101, et cetera. How many people do you think gas up a day? 40 million? Well, that's probably an okay number. I said 40 million. Well, what's stopping Gavin Newsom from saying, and we're not even talking about airplanes here, okay? Mm-hmm. What if Gavin Newsom says, you know what we're going to do for the sake of these children that we have, that believe that they're a different sex than they are? They need to have this freedom. They need to have their, they can't have their rights usurped. I'm going to put through legislation, which he can, remember, 32 to 8, 62 to 18. And then he, of course, he'd sign it. 10 cents a gallon on every gallon of gas. So I asked Mark, I said, hey, what would happen if, in fact, Newsom just said, hey, I'm adding 10 cents a gallon. How much money do you think that'd be a day?
A gob.
You think?
More than a gob.
More than a gob. Okay, so what would that be, a couple billion a week? I go, how much money do you think he'd need? And he said, well, you know, the best thing that you guys can do in that state is just not submit to it, not do it, not have your kids be submitted to this stuff. Now, I'm going to give you another example of what Newsom's doing. Assembly Bill 1078. I talked to a couple of good friends the other day, and they were sort of heartbroken over the fact that 1078 is being pushed forward. I think when we were prophets about a year ago, when you and I were talking about the school system, and we had mentioned that the state of California is probably going to take away the jurisdiction mm-hmm. of the school boards, the local school boards, to have control over the curriculum.
The duly elected school board members?
Yes, sir.
Hmm.
So, and we suggested that hey, oh, yeah. What if you take, well, guess what AB 1078 is? It's that bill. Is he going to pass it? Hell yeah. How can he not pass it? How can he not pass that? Something else I mentioned to Mark Spanagle. Our governor boasts the fourth largest economy to the seventh largest economy. I don't really know. I don't think anybody really knows.
No.
I mean, but it's big. It's big. It's a big economy. Mm-hmm. It's a big world economy. He has a legislative body that will do whatever he wants. And, oh, by the way, here's something else, because a lot of people are saying, well, you know, he doesn't control the government. Well, guess what? How many people in the House of Representatives do we have in the state of California that are in the House of Representatives? We have 52. Mm-hmm. 38 is second. That's Texas. And the rest are, a lot of them are in the teens or less. So who has control in Congress?
California.
You think? So, I mean, we look at all this stuff, and we're looking at it going, we the people. Are we really we the people, folks?
We the person. We the one person who is running the whole thing.
Person.
He's the head of the party. Guess what? For this, our commie state, he's the head of the party. So guess what? What he says goes. So he and Aunt Nancy are making things happen. So if you want to fight it, let's fix it. Good grief.
You know, and that's the whole thing. And I mean, you know, when you talk to a chief of staff of your congressman, Doug Lamolfa's congressman, and he's saying, you know, there's really not anything else we can do. Well, he's right. But see, we have to learn those three words. And I know that, again, we've had a situation where, and hopefully this will get cleared up over the next week or so. I mean, Mike Lindell's done great work, and he spent a lot of money. And he spent a lot of his own money, a lot of his own money, to help get things straight. The challenge is that the president of the United States, no matter who that is, isn't going to fix everything.
No.
Because the states have jurisdiction to interpose.
And it comes down to we, the sovereign citizens of each given state, each county, to do the job, to get out there, fight the fight, do the right thing, hold people accountable, the elected officials, no matter who they are, what level they're at, and especially if they're abusing their power. And we know that. We have abuse of power here in Shasta County. That's what prompted this whole thing, all the action that's been going on here for the past couple of years. You could see it. You could clearly see it. You see it. You hear it. You know what's happening. And so we have to get it fixed.
We really do, you know. And when you look at this whole thing, I mean, you're so right, brother. When you look at this whole thing, we have to start understanding that we have to take it back county by county.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we you know, school boards might be a little tougher, but what if we just get the school boards to say no? I mean, you know, what if we just get them to say no?
Well, if anybody's going to say no, it damn well better be the school
parents.
Boards. The parents have to go and just do a rush on each one of these school boards because supposedly these school boards are looking out for the children. And if they're not looking out for the children, then any of those members that are not participating in that kind of activity as far as looking out for the kids, they need to be gone.
But let's look at what's going on now. And I know that's a good thought, but we now have AB 1078. AB 1078 will take the power of the school boards away.
Just say no.
For the curriculum.
Just
so,
say no. Like Nancy Reagan used to say, just say
just
no.
Say no.
Just
and,
say
and,
no.
And you're right. And, you know, when we look at the situation, the understanding of the fact that what's wrong with the sentence government-controlled school? What's wrong with the sentence government-controlled?
Both.
Funded school. What's wrong with state-funded curriculum? What's wrong with state-funded...
The first two words of every statement that you just made.
Exactly.
The first two words.
And we still keep doing the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, see, here's the question. And I know people will stomp and they'll have hissy fits. I mean, until we take back the school system in our state, it's not going to get fixed.
That's correct.
We keep doing the same stuff over and over and over and over again.
Can you say insanity?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it drives me nuts. It's just like getting back to Mike Lindell, okay, and what he's done. And again, he should be a lot of people's heroes, no question, hero, no question about it. However, one size doesn't fit all because the policy, the regulation, and the procedure in each state is different, and we have a state that arguably could control or have a lot of control over our federal government because of the amount of people we have in the House of Representatives, 52, and because of the fact that our economy is so big and because of the fact that we have a governor who we've given plenary power, that's absolute power to. We have to just not submit. It's time has come not to submit to any of this crap.
Did we give it to him, or did he just steal it?
Well, I mean, it could have been the machines. It could have been that we got cheated. It could have been this. It could have been that. The deal is what the deal is now.
Right. Yeah, you're right.
And so, now here's another question. We need to get rid of the machines.
They're gone.
Okay, San Jose. Okay, let's take San Mateo County. That's a good one. San Mateo County is 86% Democrat and 14% Republican. Do you think in San Mateo County, where I think there's around 800,000 people, do you think that getting rid of the machines makes any difference at all in San Mateo County?
Probably not.
Santa Clara County, which is another one that's probably well over a million people. Mm-hmm. There's a million people in San Jose. Well over a million people. You know, and they're about 70% Democrat. Do you think machines make any difference there?
Nope.
So really, what are we talking about? We're talking about taking back local control. And I am so effing tired of seeing people say, well, you know, we need to get, well, we're doing this in Arizona, we're doing this in Ohio, we're doing this in New Mexico, we're doing this. It doesn't matter. Well, it's your state.
It's your state. And hats off to you for doing it. Go for it.
100% go for it. 100% love you guys. 100%. Problem is that what happens in Ohio stays in Ohio. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. If we are going to have anything happen positive with all this stuff, you have got to do something in California.
Amen, brother.
You have to do something in California. 52 representatives in the House of Representatives, folks. We have to do something. We have to stand against the tyranny. And I don't care what that takes. Let me give you another example. You're going to love this one. A guy named Tony Roman. I saw him on one of those shows that I forget the guy's name. I'm not really good at Bannon and those guys. I forget all their names. But anyway, I apologize, folks, for that. But I noticed one guy had like 542,000 followers. And I was watching the video of Tony because I'm actually going to be having dinner with him Thursday night in Huntington Beach. Now, here's the deal. The deal is the OSHA came in. And OSHA took $100,000 out of his checking account, his business account, because during COVID, Tony, being a patriot, would not serve people who had had vaccines, and he wouldn't serve people if they were wearing masks. And so OSHA just went into his account and took it out. Whoop! So took it out.
So the government stole from a...
Stole from him.
From a citizen.
Yes.
Huh.
Yes. And so that's what happened. And so what do you do about that? Because OSHA has control. We have agencies, what, 573, something like that?
Some crazy number, yeah.
Yeah. And we have all these agencies in California that can go in and do whatever they want to you. And I just heard this morning on the program prior that they were taking money out. I guess that was the Dutch government that's taking. Maybe I was wrong. Maybe Christina can help me out on that.
I don't know. I'm sorry.
Do you remember what they said this morning do you remember what they said this morning on the program? As far as money being taken out of an account, was that in another country? Or was that happening here in the U.S. or what? What do you remember?
Yeah, they were speaking about China.
Yes.
So, and they were speaking like how I'm sorry for my English. How they was like taking money from government from the people.
Right, and so that's happening here now, and I know that I have a friend that had money taken out by the DMV out of his account. Because he hadn't paid on a motorcycle registration or something. So
the DMV here in California has a long arm of the law behind them, so they just reach in and grab it and take it.
They charge from direct deposit, and then they just have notification in the email. And also the same thing is in Netherlands, what said that guy.
In Netherlands, okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so, you know, when you see all this stuff going on, and you're, I mean, how would you like that? I mean, they can just go into your account and take everything. You know, the insanity of that. And so anyway, this fella was beside himself, to say the least. I mean, his business account got wiped out. So then
you only keep in your bank account what you can absolutely afford to lose.
Well, what if they just decide cash isn't any? See, here's the thing. We are at the end game, folks. It's time to stand up and say no. I mean, I don't know what we're going to do about the school systems. Okay, and I love every teacher that's a great teacher. There's great teachers. There's great this. There's great that. But you're trying to fix something you have no control over. In California, we have a governor who's the spawn of Satan. We have 62-18 in the assembly. It's actually 66-14. We have 32-8 in the Senate. I know. Maybe we can elect more Republicans. Okay? Well, how does that work? You don't have enough representation for 40 million people as it is. There's not anywhere near the representation you need. So the real deal is that going off for our break, time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
love. It's alright if you don't. I'm not afraid of you running away, honey. I get the feeling you owe. There is no sense in pretending. Your eyes give you away. Something inside you is feeling.
Join Token's radio show every Sunday at 2 p.m. on 96.5 FM and AM 1460 as host Christy Matthews and Linda Kent explore the exciting world of cryptocurrency and blockchain technology. Learn how Bitcoin is revolutionizing finance and grasp sound money principles. Hear new perspectives on achieving financial freedom beyond broken institutions. The future of money is here. Empower yourself with knowledge. Listen to Token's radio show with Linda and Christy this Sunday at 2 p.m. on KCNR. Big and exciting changes are underway.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
The Stillwater Powwow is back at the Reading Rodeo Grounds, October 6th through 8th, with free admission for all ages. See beautiful dancers, hear powerful drummers, and experience the celebration of Native American culture and history. Proudly brought to you by the Reading Rancheria and Wind River Resort and Casino. The Stillwater Powwow and the Reading Rodeo Grounds, October 6th through the 8th. For information, visit stillwaterpowwow.com. Brought to you by the Potters, this station, and other proud sponsors.
Hey friends, please join us at Reading Civic Auditorium for the first annual Justice Crab Feed October 21st to raise money in the fight against human trafficking in Reading and abroad.
All proceeds go directly to Hard Places Community and Justice 180, both nonprofit organizations. Tickets are available at $75 each, or you can get a table sponsorship as well. For more information, go to justicecrabfeed@gmail.com or find us on Instagram at justicecrabfeed.
Hi, I'm Zori Gong, a traditional Chinese medicine chef and food therapist. I love eating squid steak. The chef.
Seems like yesterday, but it was long ago. Jane, it was lovely. She was a queen of my night. There in the darkness with the radio playing low, and the secrets that we share. Mountains that we move, caught like a wildfire out of control, till there was nothing left to burn and nothing left to prove. And I remember what she said to me, how she swore that it never would end.
What a great song. What a great song. Good job, Sally Lou, as usual.
Yes, she knows her music.
Mm-hmm. We are back here on Jefferson State of Mind. I'm here with my partner, Wynn Carpenter, and Christina, our producer. Yeah. You know, is there any news with what's going on locally with our central committee, Wynn, that you can share?
Well, we just had a fundraiser, and so we're in the recovery mode from doing that. So, you know, crunching the numbers and cleaning up stuff, putting stuff away, blah, 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 the whole thing. And looking at endorsements down the road for, you know, which – because that's one of the things that the central committee – that's one of the main deals for a central committee is to endorse. And so it is a Republican central committee, so we would endorse Republicans. So we're going to end up having some debates – and or forums. Hopefully there'll be debates, and we'll see where that takes us. And so that should be happening pretty soon.
Has anything just that you've heard that you can share, has anything stood out about anybody who's running for state assembly, and what is it that they hope to accomplish being one of maybe 14 to 18 people out of 80?
Well, I haven't heard anything that's jumped out. I know that the California Republican Assembly, which is another organization,
yes,
they had their debate forum last week. I was not here. I was out of town when they had it. So I don't know what all was going on with that. Maybe one of our listeners that was there could call and shed some light on it. But I know that they were doing their part because they also too look to endorse Republicans, as long as the Republican meets the criteria for being a Republican. And, you know, that's what we're looking at too. We're looking at the same thing. So just because we have a Republican running doesn't mean they will receive the endorsement, because if they're not, let's see, in lockstep with the ideals of Republicanism, then they're most likely not going to get the endorsement. You can't be halfway. You can't have your foot in and out of the race. You've got to be all in.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think for me, I think one of the things when I look at all this, you know, I don't like forums. I don't like forums because forums are just an open line to platitude.
Right. Well, and you and Janet and Penny did a great job on doing the debates that we've had in the past, running those, getting the word out, and holding the candidates to accountability as far as their responses, their information that they're sharing with everybody. So I think, you know, going down the road of having debates that truly need to occur, we need to have those here so we can find out what these people are really made of.
Yeah, you know, well, and you know, again, is there even a Democrat running for Assembly for District 1 or Senate for District 1 that we even know of?
Well, no idea. And the thing is, you don't have to file until, I think it's in mid to latter part of October. So we're probably not going to know until then. It's going to be a very short campaign season from October to March. So that's what's going to be happening there, as far as I understand it.
All right. Well, we do have a caller on the line. Richard, how are you, my friend? What's going on?
Plenty, as usual. you guys, last week, you, of course, know that the Board of Supervisors passed a resolution for a citizens advisory panel over elections. That's going to be those names should be released. Well, the appointments should be done this coming week. And then the name should be released at the next board meeting on the 26th. That's only the beginning. That's all the beginning. We've got we the people, our representatives locally are actually listening to the constituents. So, yes, we have more plans to further local election, fair and transparent elections. And there's a lot coming. It's happening quickly. Hopefully there'll be an ordinance passed on the 26th to codify this citizen advisory panel. And then, so now it'll be a local law. And, which of course means, a duly passed law. If you violate it, now you're a criminal.
Well, so, how would you violate it? How would someone violate the citizens advisory panel? Maybe I'm just
There's other things coming beyond the advisory panel.
And that'll be in the ordinance?
Yeah.
That'll be in the ordinance?
That's only the beginning, yes.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
The advisory panel is only step one. There are many other things, hopefully coming, that the majority of the Board of Supervisors will enact and put into play.
Okay.
So, but it's good. It's a lot of good things coming. We talked, you know, about the CRI petition and that they're going to need less than a 20% invalidation rate in order for that to be successful. Statistically, almost impossible. The vast majority of recall petitions, referendums, et cetera, in the state of California, the vast majority of them had 30 to 50% invalidation rate. So, statistically, not likely to happen. Can it happen? Of course it can. But, Kathy Allen, she's running an uphill battle right now with a lot of different things. Because she's not for fair and transparent elections, no matter what she says out of her mouth. Her actions speak otherwise. So, a lot of good stuff going on. Some things we can talk about, some things we can't. I'll give you a little teaser. There's, I found another law very recently which gives a local elected official, let's put it this way, some grand authority to seek information. Let's just say that.
What's the law, Richard?
I'm not gonna I'm not going to right
now. You're
going to
tell us the law? Okay, go ahead.
Not on the radio.
Oh,
I'm
okay.
I'm going to let the selected official knows of this. They have it.
Okay.
They know of their power. I will let them, I'll let them use it, and then we'll know what it is. But it's very positive.
So if it's a law, isn't that supposed to be general knowledge, or is it a secret law?
No, it's a public law, but
okay.
I'm not going to disclose it today. I'm going to let the government official who has that authority decide when they want to use it and say what it is. So
we're not talking about 22501, are we?
No, absolutely
okay, go ahead.
Not. This is something different.
Okay,
but I just
go
want
ahead.
People, hey, if anybody can trust me, okay,
mm-hmm.
It's a very valid, it's a valid code, state law, and it's definitely will further public transparency of government business, local government mm-hmm. business. It's going to be a beautiful thing,
mm-hmm.
Especially in the hands of the right person.
Okay.
All right, guys. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you, Richard.
Thanks, Rich.
Okay, so anyway, I guess we'll learn about what that is when
the time comes.
Maybe somebody will tell us what it is so we can look it up, you know? I mean, but I guess it's a law that we aren't supposed to know what it is yet.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, all right.
Hey, well, quick question.
Yeah.
On the chat, one of the listeners asked, who are the four Republicans that vote in line with the Democrats? Do you know those names off the top of your head?
I do not know, but it's easy. All you have to do is go. I mean, there's you only have to search engine 18 of them
18.
and see how they vote.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the last vote. I forget the last law they put through. Oh, AB 969.
That'll
it was
you.
I think it was. I'm going to be close on this. I don't know because I'm trying to remember. I'm trying to use this old brain to remember this, but it was 61. To 14 with 5 abstaining.
Okay,
so an abstinence is that still isn't going to help your cause. Okay,
mm-hmm.
See, when you abstain, it's sort of a safe little thing here. And sometimes even voting yes is safe because if you're part of that 18
mm-hmm.
and you know this sure as hell isn't going to pass.
Yeah.
You can go ahead and you can say, okay, well, this isn't really going to pass here, so you know what? I'll vote yes.
Yeah.
Okay, and we know a couple of congressmen that we won't mention their names that have done that.
Yes.
And assembly people, Republicans that have done that because they're in the minority. And this sort of keeps the votes coming and all that good stuff.
Yep.
But what it does do is it puts aside I don't know, it bothers me with the integrity. But we do have some good integrity here, if it's the Bruce I think it is. Bruce, is this you, my friend?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Hey, Bruce.
Hey, how you doing? I just wanted to say it was really good news to hear that Wynn is running for Mary Rickert's seat, along with Mr. Sloan running for Tim Garmon's seat. That's just awesome news.
Where'd you hear that?
At the Republican Central Committee dinner.
Oh, okay. So that's not a secret. We have a secret law, but that isn't secret.
Yeah, that's not
okay.
A secret.
Okay.
So that's great news. Wynn's obviously a great patriot.
Oh, yeah.
And the other thing I wanted to ask you, your thoughts on the Stephen King outburst.
I have no comment, and I'm not going to comment on it, my good friend, only because of the fact that it's sort of like, you know, when you have a streaker in a baseball game, and they go out there. If you keep showing the camera on the streaker, the streaker's going to keep on streaking.
Yeah.
And they're going to get streaker time. So to me, it's a non-issue.
It came staged, and Robert Extra did a great job videoing.
Did they? Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, but the sad thing is, why isn't the sheriff arresting something like that?
Well, here's the deal, and
people were concerned.
Oh, I've got the answer for that because I actually talked to Patrick about that yesterday, and okay, here's the deal. The crime that was committed was a 403. That's a misdemeanor. The misdemeanor is interrupting a public meeting to the point of where the meeting has to stop. So even though the meeting was interrupted several times at several different times,
mm-hmm.
the part was, and the law says, the behavior of the individual creates a situation where the meeting has to be stopped. And Patrick has done that twice, once on Kristen Gardner and once on this King fellow.
Mm-hmm.
So they've done that. Now, does the sheriff have to arrest? I asked the sheriff about that. He said, well, I'm not going to arrest anybody over that. I said, okay. I said, well, maybe what you could do is just let people know that if they continue to do it, that there'll be some ramifications. But apparently the sheriff hasn't seen fit to do that. But a 403 misdemeanor is interrupting a public meeting to the point of where it does have to cease or be or stopped. And that's exactly what happened twice. So the sheriff is not going to prosecute it. He's not going to do it. They wouldn't even escort anybody out.
No, they relied on the security.
On the security.
The paid security team, not right. the sheriff's no. deputies that are there.
Unbelievable.
Which
the unarmed security.
That's yeah. The unarmed security.
That's correct.
And, boy, they sure escorted Richard Gallardo out when Rich went ahead and wanted to do a citizen's arrest. And,
that's
boy,
right.
they escorted him out just as quick as could be. But, he's doing something that was within his constitutionally protected rights to do and within the law to do.
Yep.
And they escort him out, but they won't escort these, they won't do anything with these other people. I think it's despicable what the sheriff's
done.
I think it's despicable. I've got no love for this.
Well, what if he was packing and drew his gun? Would the deputies draw their guns?
Well, here's the deal. Okay. I want you to look
too
up.
Too little, too late.
Okay. I want you to look up these three laws. These are California code. They're not penal code. They're California code. Number 821, 845, and 846. I'll sum them up to you. And really, what's really neat, when we give you laws and things to look up, when you look these things up, there's usually a very short synopsis at the top. It'll be like a sentence, mm-hmm. maybe two sentences. So it's really cool. It's for people like Wynn and I who have attention spans of a gnat.
Yep.
And so, you know, it's really great. So anyway, to sum up those three government codes, basically, the police have absolutely no obligation and no liability to even complete an arrest, or if someone gets injured, they have no liability whatsoever. That is the law. So the police are not going to protect you. They cannot protect you. They will attempt to protect you if there are good police officers, but they don't have an obligation. And if something happens and they don't protect you, and someone gets injured, you can't sue them, you can't do anything, they are not liable. California Code, 821, 845, and 846.
I love paying taxes.
Well, I mean, I'm just, yeah, I mean,
I
you know,
know,
the,
I know.
The, but at least no one, I mean, the thing is that a lot of us don't know this stuff. That's what we've been teaching in Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the main thing. And we should do some of that here. Yet we don't do it. It's kind of hard because a lot of times, you know, I mean, you know, people have been listening to Wynn and I for years, and we're just sort of old hat. And it was refreshing when Richard would talk about some of those laws because he's
yeah.
sort of newer, you know.
Yeah.
But the point is we have to start learning the things that can protect us. We have to learn about the Constitution. We have to learn about jurisdiction, interposition, and nullification. And we have to learn how we can combat this and not submit to it.
And we have to get out of not knowing what we don't know. We have to get away from that. We have to educate ourselves individually or collectively. We have to educate ourselves so that we know how to fight the battles that are in front of us and the battles that are yet to come. We know it's going to get worse. I mean, they're not going to stop at where they're at right now. They're going to keep on ramping it up, and they're putting layers of all these things together so that no matter which way you turn as a sovereign citizen here in California, you're going to have to fight a battle of any and all kinds. So we have to fight the battles. We have to educate ourselves, and we have to share that knowledge with everybody else that we know and love. We have to do that.
Well, my friend, anything else?
Nope, that's it.
All right.
Thank you for your show.
Have a great day, okay?
Thank you, Bruce. Right. Tell Mary we said hi.
Yes, bye-bye.
So, you know, I mean, really and truly, a lot of this stuff, I'm getting a little frustrated, and I'll tell you why. Well, you know, we've got this going, I'll tell you later. Well, we got this going, we'll talk about it down the line. Well, we got this going, and da-da-da-da-da. It reminds me of the Christmas Story, which you and I have talked about before, my good friend. The movie called The Christmas Story, and the little boy's name.
Ralphie
wants a Red Ryder BB gun.
Yep.
And, you know, and everybody's saying, you're going to shoot your eye out if you get the Red Ryder BB gun. And, you know, Ralphie's saying, I really want one. But there's a side story to this. Back in the late 40s and the early 50s, Little Orphan Annie had a cartoon thing in the funny papers, and she was sort of a kind of a spy, always doing good, and had
yep.
this had her Mideastern servant who was, you know, he was like James Bond.
Yep, really. Yep,
it was
yep.
great. So
yep.
so anyway, there'd be all these secret codes that would come in, and therefore you'd have, you know, the secret code would be put in jars of Ovaltine So Ovaltine was really popular because you'd get the code. And if you got the Little Orphan Annie decoder ring, you could decode what that code says.
Yeah, you had to decipher everything. Yes.
And so this little boy, I mean, you open the cupboard at his home and there's Ovaltine everywhere, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, he's drinking Ovaltine for breakfast, lunch, dinner, you know, before bed, everything. So anyway, so he's drinking all this Ovaltine. The kids are all drinking Ovaltine, all this good stuff. Finally, at about the middle, near the end of the movie,
yeah,
Ralphie gets his Little Orphan Annie decoder ring, and he finally gets the secret. He finally gets to be told what the secret is. And he looks at the Little Orphan Annie decoder ring, and he starts to decipher it, and it says, drink your Ovaltine. That's what I'm starting to feel like with a lot of this stuff. I mean, you know, we've got the, we'll get to that later, but, you know, hey, come on, give me a break. You know, you get to the point where you really got to look at this stuff and understand, hey, I mean, for one thing, most people know what the other hand's doing. One side usually knows what the other side's doing. And if you don't know that, then you just haven't been doing this long enough. And I think that it just gets to a point where it just gets tiresome. Now, I want to get back to Mike Lindell for a minute here. Again, I think what he's done is really great. And I know that there's a lot of cool things that are going on. And I'm going to get probably the final gist of this tomorrow, as a matter of fact, about 12:30, I'll get the final gist. So I really understand what this contraption is that we have, that you can buy for $500 that you get that will be an alert to you on election night that will tell you that there is a machine that just went online, or there's a machine that's corrupt.
Interesting.
Yes, except so you have that now. Apparently,
but if you don't use machines, that won't happen.
Well, wait a second. Yeah, right. Okay, but you have that.
Hand count won't happen.
Right.
Hand count won't happen.
Well, anyway, the way I'm not saying I'm right on this. I'm just trying to I guess fully understand it. But you have this machine, so it goes off. So you're sitting there on election night, and you're having your ice cream, and it's sitting in your lap, and it goes off, and you spill your ice cream. And then what do? Well, you warn everybody around you that this is going on. And then if somebody's close to the ROV office, they can run over there and do what? Oh, I know. Tell Kathy Darling Allen to crawl behind the machine and cut the wires.
Yeah, right.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, and I know I'm not understanding that fully, and I really like it if somebody straightened me out on that. And I'll get straightened out tomorrow on it anyway, I guess. But I'm trying to figure out why it is we just don't say no.
Just say no.
Just fight them.
Yeah.
Just fight them. Like Patrick Jones has done and Chris Kallstrom. What those guys have done and Kevin. You know, these guys have gone in there and they've fought. You know, and we'll have other people that'll be elected that'll do that. And I think that that's what we need to do. We've got to flip some of these boards of supervisors simply because of what three words? Jurisdiction, interposition, and nullification.
Yep.
The jurisdiction of a board of supervisor is tremendous. The situation we have with our elected officials in the power that they have, unless we know that, and I mean during COVID we had our eyes open quite a bit because they were saying they couldn't do it, and there were great young people out there that are saying, wait a second, it says they can do this.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a second, they can't, wait a second.
Yep.
It was great.
It was awesome.
You know, and that's what we need to do. And something else too. We are going to have to really bring back we the people. Do you have a constitution there?
No, I didn't bring, well.
You do.
I do, I haven't, whoops.
Okay, go in there, and I want you to read the 10th Amendment.
Oh, hold on a second. Glasses, oh, here they are. I have it on an app here.
Okay. So anyway, you know, it's really something when you talk about what, it's sort of like, when you look at the Constitution, take your time. When you read your Bible, 100%, take your time. Always go through word by word, precept by precept, etc.
Okay, the 10th Amendment?
Yeah, go ahead and read it, brother.
The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people.
Now, think about what was just said. Anything not delegated. What does delegate mean? Delegate means that a higher power is giving a lower power responsibility that the higher power is giving them. And normally that's on a temporary basis. That's why we have amendments.
Right.
So you have a higher power giving the lower power. So if the states are the higher power and the people of the higher power, then how can you say that the government of the United States is plenary? How does it have absolute power if that's said? And then it says reserve. What does reserve mean? It means ownership. Mm-hmm. It means the people own. The states own. The states and the people delegate because they own something. And it's very, we have to start really understanding some of these things are so simple.
Well, and the thing is, it's in the very first part of the sentence, it says the power is not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, which is we the people.
Exactly.
So the Constitution is we the people. So it's the people that are delegating the responsibility
right.
to the United States.
Because it's reserved to them. They own it.
That's right. So duh. Then it goes down from the United States to the states.
Right.
So, and that's from the people.
But the only things delegated to the United States is what we delegate to them because
that's
we have
correct.
Reserved, we have ownership.
That's correct.
And so that's the beauty of this thing. Until we start understanding these simple truths, we're not going to have the power to do things. We have to just say no. I mean, you know, really, as we look at the schools in California, you got two choices.
Mm-hmm.
You could take the power away from the state or pull your kids out. Now, we can, I mean, I, you know, those of you who may be listening to this, give me a call. You have my number. Give me a call. Tell me where that isn't correct. You either have to say, no, we're not going to allow you to have this power. No, we're not going to follow AB 1078. We're going to have our schools do it. Or we just pull the kids out of school. I mean, how, again, state-funded school, state curriculum.
No.
Government-funded school.
No.
Government curriculum. Government-controlled schools. What?
No.
You know, and we keep beating our heads against the wall because we get frustrated and we're just, you know, some people just are just sitting in their little corner of the world and just sticking to what they're doing. Sticking to it. I talked to a gentleman in Santa Clara County. Who's been doing the same thing in his Republican Central Committee for 20 years. And I said, in those 20 years, have you seen the Republican party dwindle in size to the Democrat Party? Yes, I have, but we keep fighting the fight. Oh, okay. Well, have you thought about fighting something different? You thought about doing something different? I know. How about just not doing it? At what point do we stand up? Now, we'll go on as we have these discussions, folks. In a lot of different ways and personal discussions. And thank you, Kevin Cry, for doing that town hall the other night.
Yeah.
I heard it was
great.
Successful and it was well done. And, it's like a lot of the things we're doing, we're really not letting people film them.
Well, and he had good people coming in, their business owners that are at their wits' end. They're frustrated.
Totally.
They're angry. They're hurt. They are all the emotions that you can throw at it. They are there. And, How do you fix that? Oh, I don't know. Maybe you have a little gathering like he did and just kind of figure out some plans to do this and get things turned around. Unfortunately, some of it was under the jurisdiction of the city of Reading. So now those people hopefully know that, they understand that, and they can also go to the city council and start having their 3 minutes of time to address the city council on the issues that are very important to them.
I think they ought to start community watches because I don't know how that – They're going to get the city council to do what they want. Well, maybe Mazzano and Tenessa because they're running until they, you know. I mean, do we have a police chief?
He's retiring.
Yeah. Do we know who the next guy is? We don't know yet.
I have no idea.
We know that the jurisdiction of hiring that police chief is not the city council.
No.
It's who? It's who?
Who is it?
Just happens to be the guy who runs the guy who runs it.
Wow.
The guy who runs everything there. So who runs the city council? Who runs the city? City manager.
Yeah.
So the city manager selects the police chief. So who can fire the police chief?
City manager.
And that's it. Jurisdiction, interposition.
Nullification.
And nullification. Again, the understanding of that. And if people don't understand that, and those three words, they're going to be in a world of hurt. But